My mind this morning has been along the line of waking up. And that involves a lot of things. And I reckon this is something that I don't like to do, really. I don't like to get up. I don't like to go to bed. I like to sit up and watch the news. I don't know, it looks like when end of a day, it's sort of a time of relaxing to me and meditation and thought. And then when you get ready to wake up in the morning and you wake up, and then getting up sometimes can be quite a task. We sort of dread that. This is not only physically true with a lot of us, but it is certainly spiritually true. I was thinking about a verse of Scripture that is involving sleep or sleeping too much, not waking up. We find in Proverbs, in the 24th chapter, Solomon is writing and says in the 30th verse, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof with the stone. With the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it, and received instruction." Now when he went by this field and saw it all grown over, the nettles and the briars, the thorns and everything had grown over it, and the wall, the fence, is broken down to where there was no care for it. "Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Brethren, we have so much contained in the instructions, considering the fact that we just sleep too much. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of thy hands. Now, it's proper to sleep. We need the proper amount of it. But when we're sleeping, when we ought to be awake, this is not good. You know the old proverb that all of us knows about? You know, it talked about early to bed, early to rise, makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. And I believe that in a lot of ways that too many of us are not sleeping at the proper time. We should go to bed early and rise early. The mind is more functional. The body is a lot healthier. And this is something the older people used to do. And they lived a lot longer, and I believe they had a lot better health in a lot of ways than a lot of us have today. And these are things that we ought to think about and consider. But one that is wanting to sleep a little longer, sleep too much, slumber just a little bit longer, a little more folding of the hands to sleep. I want to rise now. I'll wait a little bit longer on this. I know it's time to get up, but I'll just sleep. It feels so good to lay here. I'll lay here just a little longer. I don't know whether that affects you or not. It does me. And this is true. You say, well, I don't see how that applies. What does that have to do with being in church? Well, it has a lot to do with that. Because a lot of us sleep too long on Sunday morning when we ought to be getting up. This is just as much an obligation, if not more so, to be active and alert in the kingdom of God. The truth of it is, brethren, if we treated our jobs like we treat the house of God, some of us, we'd all get fired and certainly get a great decrease in pay. in a lot of ways. And I believe that a lot of us have decreased our pay in God's service because we are not as active and as indebted for God's kingdom as we are about our natural job. And so we sleep. And there's a lot of ways in which believers, church members, children of God sleep. And I hope to deal with some of this. And there's a lot of ways in which we need to wake up. It's necessary to wake up. It's necessary in your own life because there's a lot of things that you need to be alert about. Waking up to do duty and responsibility in your own life. A lot of us say, well, I want to know more about the Bible. I have people a lot of times to get me off and ask me questions about the Scriptures, and that's well. I know one thing, they've been studying some, they've been reading some. And so, that's important. But you know, a lot of times people will not spend the time, then do everything else they want to do, and set no time aside for the study of God's Word until they're physically tired, mentally tired. And when they pick up the Bible, it all runs together and says, oh, well, I'll wait. Maybe the preacher will preach on that. And so you just don't go to the bother of trying to dig into it. But you need to wake up in the study of God's Word. Wake up to the knowledge of the truth. It's the most important thing in the world. I know, brethren, that if we're going out here to buy a little piece of land or something like that, we're going to certainly make sure that we get a good title to it. If we're going to pay our money for it, we want to make sure there's no encumbrances upon it. We're going to get a clear title to it. We'll well alert about that. We get an attorney. We make sure the title's clear and everything is right. We want to check those land lines. We want to make sure that we're getting what we're paying for. And yet other people are so asleep religiously, they never examine the land lines. They'll unite with a denomination. They're going to a church, never examine the doctrine, never see what they believe, what they do not believe. And therefore, they are completely asleep. A lot of men today sleep and let their wives do have all the religion. I've talked to a lot of businessmen. And they'll tell me, well, whatever my wife and children want, that's all right with me. Well, I'll tell you, that's not being much of a man in the matters of religion. I'll tell you one thing, what my wife and my children believe may be what I believe, and that's fine. But I believe as head of the household, I need to know what I believe, and I really ought to examine a little bit of what they're getting involved with. A lot of people asleep on Sunday morning, send the children off to a Sunday school or something like that, and they think they're doing God's will. My friend, you're just sleeping and slumbering your life away. That's no more the way God would have you to do it. That's an excuse. That's a little bit more sleeping and slumbering along that line. And so there's a lot of things we need to. If you believe in a certain church and if you believe in that type of religion, you ought to rise with your children and go with them and participate and know something about what they're believing and what they're participating in, sleeping otherwise. And not only that, we as primitive Baptists, we also can sleep. You know, Jesus gave a parable one time in this line. He said that while men slept, you know, the wicked one went out and sowed tares in the field. You know, the Son of Man had already sowed the good wheat in the field, but there came the wicked one while men slept and sowed tares in the wheat, among the wheat. And of course, when they saw the tares beginning to come up, they want to just go in there and root them out. No, that's too late, my friend. You've overslept. Because if you try to root out the tares right then, you're going to tear up a lot of the wheat. And so a lot of things get in the church gradually because you are asleep. You are asleep on the great doctrines of Jesus Christ. You are asleep on the practice of the church. You are asleep on these things. And the wicked one sows the tares. And you got to wait till the harvest time. You're going to have to put up with those tares until the harvest. Oh, the harvest will come all right. Because the tare is no part of the wheat. And after a while, he says, every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. There's no doubt about it. In harvest time, these tares is going to be separated from the wheat. I know that's true eventually. That's true eternally. God will finally separate the wicked from the righteous in the great day of judgment. And all professors of religion and those who put on in an outward form or fashion of religion in the world will finally be separated from those who are genuine and real. God knows who really are children of God and those who are false professors of it in the world. And there's going to be the separation of the tares and the wheat eventually. But I believe there's going to be a harvest time in the church. Every once in a while, there comes a time of harvest. There comes a time of separation. There comes a time when those situations arise that offenses will come, and those who are not deep-rooted in the truth and understand what it's all about and really was led by God's Spirit into God's kingdom, if they came in by the night and not through the leadership of the day of God's Spirit, then, my friend, they fall away. We wonder why they go. We wonder why they do not remain. Well, a lot of them came in the night, my friend. A lot of them came in the night. I don't mean everybody that leaves the church is not a child of God. No, I believe some of them are children of God. Definitely so. But I definitely believe also, my friend, some... You know, John, the loving Apostle John, said this on occasion. You can hardly think John would have said this. Because he was such a loving disciple. He talked about love all the time. But John also said this. They went out from us because they were not of us. And had they been of us, they would not have gone out from us. And so I tell you this. There has been divisions in the ranks and file of the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are those who have gone out from among us because they were not of us. And had they been of us, they would not have gone out from us. You know that raven that was in the ark? You know the Lord, Noah was commanded to let the dove out, you know. And how the dove went and could find no place for the sole of its foot and came back. He turned a raven loose. And that raven went out and never did return. And later on, that dove was sent out again and came back with an olive branch. You remember this. What I'm trying to point out to you, beloved brethren, if you are a dove, if you're a dove and have the peace of God, dove represents peace, and you have the peace of God in your heart, you cannot love this world and live in this world and find peace in this world. This world is not your home. You cannot live in those things. Then you like the dove. You will return when you cannot find rest. Some go out all right, but they will not rest. They may fly around, but there's nothing. They see the dead bodies floating around. They see the different things. Well, they cannot eat that. They cannot live on that. But that raven could, that was a scavenger-type bird, could live from the things that the dove could not live upon. And that raven could live alone, whereas the dove could not live alone. It had to have its mate and companionship. And those of you that really love Christ, those who really love the church in the heart, if you may leave out from it, you will not find rest for the sole of your feet. You will be coming back. And I've seen them go away from the church a while, but they'll come back. They may have to come back on their deathbed. They may come back and say, well, brother, I can't even join. But I'm back because I want you to know I love you. I love the church of God. I want you to pray for me. That little dove returns. But that raven found a lot of things of the world to live on. And so there are those of that are we allowed to come in. We are asleep in that regard. You know, brethren, because the discipline of the church, we was on this yesterday, being awake to the discipline of the house of God, and because of the strictness of the discipline of the church, we need to be awake of who we take into the church. You know, it's sad. It's sad to have to discipline members. It's truly sad when members leave the church and we have to discipline them. But I believe it's right. I honestly believe the Bible teaches this abundantly. Withdraw thyself from of a brother that walks disorderly. We have to do this according to God's Word. But, you know, the thing where we ought to be careful is taking them in. Now, I believe, beloved brethren, we ought to be awfully careful about those who become members of the body of Christ. Because if they are not spiritual, I don't mean they got to understand everything about the church. I don't mean they got to know all about it. No, because you come in to learn. Now, discipleship means to learn. Take up my cross and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We got to learn. But there is something basic and fundamental. There is a love that you cannot learn. Now, you don't learn to love. No, sirree. This is something that you ought to have before you come in. And you ought to consider that you really love this church. And I believe in getting married. It's like a man went to one of our preachers one time and he says, preacher, I want you to marry me. And he said, you know, I'm not a member of the church, but I'm going to join some church. I'm going to join. He thought the preacher wouldn't marry him unless he told him he's going to join some church, you see. He said, well, I reckon then you're just going to marry some woman. He said, oh, no. He said, I got a certain one, a definite one. He said, on this church matter, you wait till there's a definite one and a certain one. I'm not telling you got to run out and join the church. That's what the world says. Tells everybody, go join the church. No, my friend. We believe you ought to join if you're in love with the church. You ought to get married if you love the church. If you love Christ. We're not worrying about you going to hell or heaven. That's not our worry. Brother, that's in the hands of the Almighty God. And we believe our God will take care of that. We're not worrying about your children, your grandchildren. They might die and go to hell. No, our God will take care of that. For the promises unto you and to your children and those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, we trust in His power and trust in His grace. But we are concerned about of those who come into the church. We ought to be seeking the evidence of those who really love it from their heart, love this doctrine. Don't be in a hurry about it. No, but you examine it. You look at it. You see if you love it. And if you love it in your heart, then we tell you to awake out of your sleep. You've got a responsibility to do. You know, there's several scriptures in the New Testament pertaining to waking up. You know, I think this is a good one here in the 13th chapter of Romans. Listen to these words in the 11th chapter. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, knowing the time, knowing the time. You know, up in Cincinnati a few years ago, Elder Paul Trotner got up to preach. And he said, what time is it, brethren? And brethren all behind him began to say, it's 11 o'clock. He began to tell him what time. He said, I'm not talking about what time is it. On my watch, I got a watch here. I can see what time it is. But he says, knowing the time, what time is it? What time is it in your life? What time is it, my friend? Is it time to wake out of sleep? Now he says, what time is it? And knowing the time, now it's high time. You've heard of that old saying, it's high time you do something about this. Brother, it's high noon. It is a time because from now on, when it reaches high noon or high time, from then on it begins to be evening time in your life. And so if the Lord God has called you by His grace and showed you His mercy in your life, then it's high time, knowing the time, for you to wake out of sleep. Wake out of sleep. You know, this ties in beautifully with an expression that Paul writes us in the Ephesian letter. We've been recently preaching from this book, and this is a great thought. Here in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, he brings us a beautiful expression in the 5th chapter in the 14th verse. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Here it is, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now, brethren, he's not saying rise from the dead as a dead sinner. He's talking to believers here. He's talking to Ephesians. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And one of the marginal references says, among the dead. Rise up from among the dead. I want you to know God's children, a lot of them are dwelling among the dead things of this world. And we are called upon as God's children to arise from the dead or among the dead. A state of inactivity. A state of unconcern. And Christ will give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine with excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Brethren, here are some things that you and I need to wake up. He says, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest for the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. Now, brother, God shows the light on your life and makes manifest those things that are of darkness in your life. So he calls upon you to awake out of this darkened state. There are so many scriptures. I want to refer another one that I think is worth our consideration. As he's dealing here with the great subject of the resurrection of the dead, he said in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 34th verse, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Brethren, let me tell you something. If our members of the congregation that we serve, if they have not the knowledge of God, we're not awake in the pulpit. In other words, I gotta examine my preaching to see if I'm awake. You know, if to find out if I'm asleep or not in the pulpit, if I get down here every meeting day, and every time I get in this pulpit, I just tell you about election and predestination and the effectual call of God and what God's going to do for you for your eternal salvation. Now, that's good to wake up to. I was awakened to that one day. Now, God blessed me to understand His sovereignty and His great power, and I want to be awake to that. Oh, I believe a preacher that's asleep on that foundation, he's dead asleep, my friend. I believe we need to be awake to the truth of God. It's concerning salvation by grace. Is that all? No, a preacher that just preaches grace all the time in the pulpit and does not point out to you duty and responsibility. I believe the sermons we heard yesterday was awakening sermons. I tell you, Brother Kermit Nobles, I got over there about him, talking about him. Divisions in the church. Some saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Apollos. Now, if you want to know this, whether you're asleep or not, then you just go around saying, well, a certain preacher's my preacher. That's the only preacher I care about. I just turn off everybody else. If he's not there, then I just soon stayed home. Then you are asleep. You need to wake up, my friend, to find out that God's got other preachers that can preach. But if you're half asleep, then from the standpoint of you just saying, well, I'm of this particular preacher. That's what Paul was condemning this church for, saying, I'm of Paul. You know, Paul was eloquent. Paul was a great learned man. He had great knowledge of the Bible. And sometimes we say, well, I only want to hear the knowledgeable preachers. I want to hear the preachers that's got great knowledge of these things. Well, it's good to have those kind of preachers around. Thank God for them. We need them. But brother, wake up. There's some other ministers along. But some says, I am of Cephas. Why, Peter was an ignorant and unlearned man. He was a fisherman by trade. He wasn't an educated man. And somebody says, well, I don't care anything at all about hearing Paul. I just want to hear Apostle Peter. That's all. I just want to hear the man that I can believe God blesses him because he didn't have any education or anything like that. And so you just said, I'm of Cephas. Another says, no, I am of Apollos. Apollos was a man. You know, Apollos was a scriptorian. Apollos was mighty in the scriptures. And he could convince the Jews in that publicly that Jesus was the Christ. And so sometimes we get wrapped up in a scriptorian. I've even heard, and I know the preacher don't want this to happen, but I've actually heard people say when they left the meeting, they didn't say a thing in the world about what the preacher preached. They said, notice how many scriptures he quoted. See what I mean? They get wrapped up in the man's intellectual ability. Amen. And so you got Apollos. Apollos was mighty in the scriptures. Brother, we want Apollos. We don't want to turn Apollos away. We need Apollos, and we need Paul's, and we need Cephas's. We need all of them. Of course, some of them said, well, we're all for Christ and none of the preachers. You know, we get folks like that sometimes. I had a man one time in the church, and brother, he got so against the preachers because they wouldn't agree with him on everything. He said, well, no preacher can teach me anything. In other words, I'm just as well off without the preacher. Well, he was saying, I'm of Christ. In other words, I know it all. I don't need any preachers. I don't need any Pauls or any Cephases or any Apollos. I know it all. Well, that fellow needs to wake up too. Yes, sir. He needs to wake up to know that he needs Paul. He needs Apollos and he needs Cephas. He needs all of these ministers. We need to wake up to this, that there be no division in the body. So, I believe Brother Kermit awoke us up yesterday. He really awakened us in the great fact that there should be no division in the body of Christ, that we should love every minister for his stand and for his gift and for his calling and not to worship any man here in the world. And so let us wake up to this fact and recognize all the gifts, that there be no division within the body of the church. Paul wasn't crucified for you. No, I wasn't crucified for you. No, brethren, Christ did all of this work for us. Not the man, not the preacher. But we are a preachers by whom you believe. It is through our preaching that you believe the truth and understand more about the truth. This is God's work as ministers. And so we need this. Let us wake up to what the responsibility of the preacher is in this regard. And then, you know, Brother Peter Brown woke us up right good, didn't he? He awakened us in the fact about the body, that the members of the body, how that every part of the body is important and dependent on each other. Each part of the body is dependent on the other part. And regardless of which member, it may be the little finger, but beloved brethren, if it's a part of that body, it's important. That's the reason I'm telling you that in receiving people into the church, we need to have the evidence they are spiritual, because if they are spiritual part of that body, that smallest member can suffer and the whole body will suffer. But you know, if they're on the church and not really a part of it, I'm afraid that that we don't suffer so much when something happens to them. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, we don't really feel the pain of it. That's the reason all members should be vital parts of the body, that there be concern for all of them. Beloved brethren, I trust as a pastor that I'm concerned about the well-being. Wake up to the fact that every member is important. Everyone in the church. It matters not how rich you are, my friend. You may have houses and lands. It doesn't matter a bit in the world. You may not hardly have a change of raiment. But I tell you, my friend, if you love the God, saved by the blood of Christ, born of the Holy Spirit, and heaven's going to be your home, help me to wake up, oh God, and love you as one of God's members of His body. Preachers need to wake up to that, too. That we should be no respecter of persons. Some members may be able to give $500. Another may give 50 cents. It doesn't matter, my friend. If I'm awake, I love you for Christ's sake. It's not what you have. Not what you've got, not what you're going to give me. I'd rather not know what you're going to give me. If you want to know the truth about it, I encourage you to come through the church here. Really, actually, brother, I think that's the proper way. And I know some good brethren helped me along in a private way, and I appreciate it. But you know, really, I'd rather not know anything about anything anybody does. Let it come all through the church so I won't have any temptation along that line to worry.
Side 2.
But if God blessed you financially in this world, and you're covetous, and you're holding back and not doing what you ought to, then I hope I'm awake in the pulpit when I preach it to you. I won't have to worry. I may look at you and say, oh, I know that brother's doing his duty, but you may be the most covetous member in this church. And when I'm laying it on the line and I'm awake to my duty and putting it out, I won't have to stand there and wonder about it and say, well, I better soft pedal that a little bit. No, I need to wake up and preach the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And preach all phases of the truth. Awake to a righteousness, and sin not, somehow not the knowledge of God. Help us that we wake up to our duty and responsibility. I think a lot of us. I like something I heard on the radio this morning. I don't ever believe all I hear. This man was trying to show that every part of our life is sacred. In other words, sometimes we think, well, I only need to be religious when I'm at church. I only need to be good when I'm at church. I only need to be honest when I'm at church. I only need to be fair when I'm at church. I tell you, my friend, every walk of your life, every conversation you have, you need to wake up and remember that God will deal with you in judgment, my friend, for the conduct of your life. You need to wake up to the fact that whatever you're doing, if you are selling groceries, if you are a farming, or if you are a nurse, or if whatever it may be, you have an obligation before God. You are God's servant in that capacity. The president is a God's servant. The senators are God's servants. Our law officers of the land, the sheriff of this county is a servant of God. I can prove it to you by the Bible. He said, well, I don't think the man, I don't know how godly the man is or religious. I don't know that much about, I think, a lot of your sheriff. But I don't know what kind of spiritual-minded man he is. But I tell you, regardless of what he is individually, I tell you one thing, according to God's Word, he's a servant of God. I can prove that. He's a servant of God. And the Roman letter proves it. Let every soul be subject to the powers that be, for the powers that be are ordained of God. And you don't think he's a servant of God when you go out here and violate God's law. He has a right to execute that, because in that capacity he's fulfilling the will of God. We all need to wake up to whatever our responsibilities. When you lay a pound on a scale, my friend, you're not weighing that just for man. You're giving a true or a false balance before God. That's what I'm telling you about. And when you hire somebody to do a day's work for you, you say, well, they're ignorant. They wouldn't know whether I'm paying them enough or not. Well, I say, God knows whether you're paying enough or not. And another thing, you who are workers for somebody else. I want you to know, my friend, when you obligate yourself to do a day's work, whether that man's looking at you or not, he could have a dozen foremen around. It wouldn't matter or not, unless you needed somebody to just help you a little bit and give you a few more instructions. You need to be doing a good job on whatever you're doing. The sermon that you'll hear tonight, if you hear it, the broadcast, is on servants and masters, and it's along the line of duty and responsibility. In our everyday life, whatever I do as a man, I'm obligated before God to wake up, my friend, to do an honest day's work and do a good job. Wake up to that. Wake up to that. I'll tell you where we need awakening to. A lot of you husbands need to wake up. And a lot of you wives need to wake up. You know, a lot of women say, well, I'm afraid my husband's going to look at some other woman and so forth and so on. I'm going to lose him and so forth and so on. He married you because he loved you. And you were the pick of the lot. Don't you see what I mean? Nobody liked you. But you need to wake up and remember, you're supposed to tear yourself. You let your hair all get down and you just go on and filth and nasty and you just slob around. And you better not look at some other woman or something like that and you look at what you look like. In other words, you need to wake up, my fair one, in respect and the responsibility. Your husband likes to see you clean. Oh, he's not waiting for you to walk in every time and all primped up every time. No, but there's certain things. And I tell you a good way. I returned from a trip recently. And when I walked in the house, brother, everything was in order. Everything was so clean. Everything was so nice. Maybe I didn't make as much comment about that as I should have, but I was thankful in my heart. I love to see a clean house, my friend, and we need to have that in our homes and a good wife at home providing these things, awaken to this duty, that things are carried out in an honorable way. And a husband needs to wake up to the fact that, well, he says, I kissed my wife when we got married, and I told I love, and that ought to last her for the next 50 years. Let me tell you something. You need to wake up, husband, of the fact that you need to tell frequently to your wife you love her. Let the kisses fall upon her, my friend. She's your beloved. You need to tell her oftentimes you do love her, not only in word, but in deed, and in action, in confidence, and in respect. Wake up, husbands. You got some you need to wake up to in order, and this will save marriages. A lot of marriages are torn asunder because husband or wife or both sometimes think they got to have everything the Joneses has got. Maybe here's a couple that's been working for 40 years. They got their home, got it paid for. Here's a young couple just starting. Well, I got to have a house like them. I got to have a car just like them. I got to have... They want everything to begin with. And a lot of times they obligate themselves, they put themselves in such obligation to where there's no way in the world they can even hardly be sociable with one another. They have taxed themselves to death. Wake up to the fact it's good to say no about some things. Learn to say no. You need to wake up to the word no instead of yes for everything. I want my children to have everything I didn't have. I want them to have. I want them to eat out of a silver spoon. Well, you just fix to ruin them. What you fix to do? You give them everything they want, everything they ask for, and never say no to them. And I'll assure you, somewhere down the road, there's going to be a no. You may not give it out, but there will be a no. Somebody will say it to them somewhere down the road, and they'll think it's the end of the world, but they'll get that no after a while. You need to wake up and recognize the fact. There are certain things and certain restrictions. And then at the same time, I think parents need to wake up to the fact that they say, well, I'm settled now in life and I don't have all these responsibilities. I'm not a teenager. I'm not young. Well, friend, it won't hurt you a bit, things that are decent and honorable, to participate with your children. When my little children came along, brother, we took part with them in a lot of things that I knew was all right. It wasn't a violation of the church rules. But we was awakened to the fact that we wanted to come up with our children and share with them. And this is something parents need to learn about. The psychology of taking part with their children and being with them. Not just send them down the street and send them out to do this. Participate where you can. And then, of course, you got to wake up to the fact you got to know when to stop and not try to be with them everywhere and all the time and make invalids out of them. A lot of waking up to do, isn't it? A lot of waking up to do about a lot of things. I had no earthly idea. I was preaching entirely about something else along this line. But my mind is run here in a lot of responsibility and a lot of duty and a lot of waking up that we need. And, brother, I tell you, we need to wake up. And when we get to church, we need to wake up. We need to wake up right here. I don't believe the Lord is pleased, brethren, when we sit here half asleep and don't even feel like opening up the song book. I can't sing. I know. I've heard myself on tape. I don't have any voice to sing. I realize that. But I can make a joyful noise. And I believe what the Lord recognizes, my friend, is that we get to church a lot of times to open that hymn book up. We may not even can say a word, but see what the song says. Look at the words about it. Song service, a spiritual song, and making melody in your heart. Wake up, child. child of God. You've got something to sing about. You're going to sing more than a million years, my friend. The preaching's going to stop, and praying is going to stop, but singing will never end. The saints will sing. We'll wake up and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We're going to sing that, awake and sing that song. Well, the singing is going on in the heavens world, and we're going to have something to sing about when we see our eternal God. When you awaken, you know, David said, when I awake with His likeness, I'll be satisfied. There's going to be a waking up. Oh, yes, we're all going to have to fall asleep in death one of these days, but we're going to wake up on that glad morning, the resurrection morning. He's going to wake us up out of the sleep of death. And brother, we're going to have the harps of gold as we walk down the streets of gold, and the walls paved with jasper, as we walk down the corners of eternity and see all the redeemed of God. Awake! Oh, how wonderful that day. I don't believe there'll be sleepy souls laying around. Well, I wonder if there's anything to praise God about. I'll tell you, there'll be everything to praise Him about. See all the angels. See all the redeemed. That'll be wonderful. See heaven, the place of heaven. The heaven's a place. It's a city. A city that won't have any night. A city that won't have any death. A city that won't have any cemeteries, any mortuaries. A city that won't have any jails. A city, brother, where there won't be the old people's homes, where the aged have got where they could not make it any longer at home. They're off to themselves. No, they won't be that there. They're all going to wake up. The old and the feeble are going to wake up with new bodies. The little infant that died in mother's arms will wake up with a beautiful body. All the saints will wake up in that glad morning. We'll join our hands together. We march down the corners of eternity, fully awake of the grandeur and the glory and the beauty of the world of heaven, the world to come, the city of God. Oh, what a wonderful city. Brother, it's beautiful to describe in the Bible. But you know, that's not all. If I just saw heaven as a place and saw all the redeemed of God and all the angels, that'd be wonderful. But what's going to really wake me up when I walk up to the throne of God? And Christ to say, here's thy eternal Father. Here's the God that loved you from all eternity. Brother, I tell you, I want to see Him face to face and tell the story. Save for grace. I want to be awake while I'm living. I want to wake up, brother, to serve Him. Preach His gospel. Wake up to my duty and responsibility. Wake up to tell God's children about the glorious truth of my God. Wake up to do everything I can to help those who are sorrowing, broken-hearted in this world. Wake up to all of this. But, brother, I hope one day to wake up where I won't have to go back to sleep again. Fold my arms and say I've done all I can. But wake up and see Him as He is. Be with Him and be like Him. May God bless you, and I thank you. Amen.